Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
She'll never let you leave, you know. Can't you tell? She's in love.
What are you talking about?
In love with you, my dear. She's all a twitter about you. Can't talk about anyone else. You're the perfect gift for the girl who has everything. She's taken you into her heart like a Draythan puppy leg left on her doorstep. Who else could she share her deepest secrets with? Tell her troubles to, trust with her life.
All you have to do is take a look at the guard outside to see how much she trusts me.
I arrange the guard. Oh, she trusts you. As much as she trusts anyone. So who better to betray her?
Okay. All right.
Too bad we didn't have video. You could see me pumping my fist.
Yeah, that would be great if we had video. I'm not 100% sure it's great that we have audio.
Is that the music they play when, like, the bad stuff is happening?
In Pulp Fiction, or in the bad stuff, you know, at the end.
I guess it depends on who you are.
Okay.
With Marcella.
Enough of this. We got to start the podcast.
Okay.
All right. Let's start the podcast. This is all very charming.
Trying to keep it G-rated.
Are we? Fuck! sorry, I'm such a child. It's my gut reaction. No. Okay. We're starting the podcast. The podcast that we are starting is called the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Hello.
It is the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
How are you? How are you?
Okay. It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
How are you?
And we are this week, we are discussing, as promised, in the title of the podcast that is currently displayed in whatever podcasting device or service you are utilizing, whether it may be Spotify or YouTube.
I'm already sleeping.
Or Podcast Addict, Overcast, Apple Podcast, many of
Apple
you
Apple Podcasts.
These are all things that people are already
not Google
aware
Podcasts.
Of.
That shit doesn't exist. There's all sorts of other weird ones, too. Whatever you're using, it promises that we will be discussing the Deep Space Nine episode Crossover.
Who wants a drink on the house?
I'm glad, because that's the one I watched as well.
Yes, good. I've always wondered if it'll ever happen that one of us will goof up and not watch the
episode. I am afraid about that every week.
Yeah. I guess that's what keeps us from making that mistake.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it looks like we haven't made that mistake this week because, Jesse, you appear to have understood that we were watching Crossover from Deep Space Nine's second season.
And then, of course, the 23rd episode. He got it right. This guy over here, he gets it right all the
time. Dan presumably got it right because he has all these audio clips, and thus far, each of the audio clips has been from the episode Crossover, the 23rd episode
of
Deep Space Nine's second season.
Of course.
No jokes.
Okay, all right. Well, we will try to limit the jokes this episode. We don't want to go overboard. So,
yes.
We will indeed be talking about Crossover. But first, we must go through a couple items.
Front matter, as it were.
Well, Dan, you needn't say front matter. I know it makes you uncomfortable, that term.
Rat 'em ups.
But yes, it is the front matter of the podcast. So thing number one to go over is to remind folks,
front thing,
because folks sometimes need a reminder that we have a Patreon. We didn't used to have a Patreon. At a certain point, we got a Patreon, and now we have a Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/itscotstartrek. All right,
what's wrong, dude?
Just to clarify, because
something happened to your mouth.
Well.
Who are you looking at?
He's talking about me.
Oh.
Because I just slipped into some sort of aphasic Sean Connery mode. Unintentionally.
I wouldn't worry about it.
And the thing is for website addresses, especially website addresses that potentially could be lucrative for we three here, Dan, Jesse, and Patrick.
What a laugh.
It is best to be clear and enunciate. So, patreon.com/itsgotstartrek.
I don't think so.
No, that is indeed what it is. I'm sure people would have figured it out from the old context clues, but...
Is that a joke?
It is not. I'm deadly
serious. Jokes.
It's got Star Trek.
No,
patreon.com.
You said it's got slash it's got Star Trek.
Like slash from that band.
Slash it's got Star Trek. Append that to the end of www.patreon.com.
Append that to the end of.
And you can get the free previews. You can sign up. You can even buy some individual episodes. That's a new feature.
What are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about it's a new feature they offered. So I was like, okay, why not? People want to do
that. Is that a joke?
Have you lost your mind?
We just posted a new Patreon episode. It was, in fact, it's the first episode of IGST Storytime. And this is on Travel Nightmares.
I forgot we did that one. That was
yeah, we recorded
a little while ago.
But
what kind of a man
did we have a guest at the time?
No, it was just Dan, Jesse, and I recounting tales of woe.
Can you believe that?
Related to our travels.
Do you believe it?
I do. It was an entertaining episode. But anyway, that's available now for those who are interested. For those who are not interested, don't even worry about it. We'll get to the rest of the podcast momentarily.
Is that clear?
We do have a second break fun 'em up planned. I will fill you in, Dan and Jesse. I will fill you in on the deal with that at the beginning of the second break.
It's on the red.
I must sadly report yet again. No reviews, so no haikus.
Oh,
right?
Damn you, people.
Let his pleas for mercy echo through the corridors for all Terrans to hear.
Dan had promised custom haikus for any reviews, and we got a few. There was
At the beginning,
there was a bunch of haikus, a bunch of reviews, or at least a few, and a few haikus, a few reviews, and a few haikus. Now it's all
a damn
shame.
Total snooze.
Down with him.
Dan thinks it's because he thinks the haikus that he made were shit.
I just said that once.
I don't think that they were shit. I think they were charming. You'd have to go back and listen. I can't remember when we did it. It was a few episodes back.
Do you choose that your haikus give everyone the blues?
Yeah.
Aww.
Hopefully.
I don't think so.
Hopefully what was intended as an enticement of a haiku has not somehow been translated as a threat of a haiku.
A threat of a haiku.
Because we do encourage reviews. We don't want to disincentivize reviews.
Yeah, it's not haiku.
If you're taking the haiku as a threat. So please don't. If you would like to leave a review without a haiku, please leave a review and indicate in the review that you would not like a haiku. And then I'll tell Dan, don't do a haiku for this review. Got it?
I don't want your fear. I want your love.
Well, indeed, Intendant. Okay, and now we do have a real quick voicemail from Steven regarding last week's discussion about the enemy within. So for those not in the know, last week we discussed the Star Trek episode, The Enemy Within. That's what we did. For honest, for reals.
I think I remember that.
Yeah, in fact, this episode is that we're discussing this week, Crossover, is thematically related to The Enemy Within because it's another example of Star Trek giving the actors an opportunity to play a crazy, wild version of themselves.
Like a Draythan puppy leg left on her doorstep.
Yeah, it's quite similar to that.
For real, dude.
That's what
I think about all the time.
And I give credit to Dan's podcast selection algorithm.
The algorithm actually, we can find a link between these two. Because you can't always, often can't find a link.
Usually Dan's,
it's working, man.
Usually
it's
Dan's
working.
Podcast selection algorithm just tells us to do Deep Space Nine's Past Tense Part 2.
Part 2.
Which we, first of all, we've already discussed that.
Maybe we should just do it again.
I was thinking
it's meant to be.
Only the part 2, though.
You know, it's actually been a while
It's
been a while since we've gotten that, actually.
Yeah, because that was like episode 24 or something, 28 or something. That was like an early...
Well, I was going to say it's been a while since it suggested that.
Yeah. It was way before the algorithm.
Well, okay, so we did The Enemy Within last week, and Steven has submitted this voicemail with some comments.
Hi, listening to your wonderful episode about The Enemy Within, I was thinking about your conversation about Sulu left on the planet. And just thinking, the strange thing is that since the Enterprise clearly has multiple transporter rooms, were they all affected by this?
That's a good point.
By this iron dust that is messing up the transporters. And
it's magnetic.
I mean, since at least the Starfleet technical manual seems to indicate there are at least seven transporter rooms, I wonder if all of them really could not be trusted. And I mean, we can accept that it's really just the transporter is just a plot device anyway, but I mean, maybe they were all affected. I mean, that they would all be affected by the same process, or they all run through the same circuitry or whatever. But it is a bit odd that they couldn't think of beaming them up otherwise. But even more unforgivable is the fact that they didn't bother to send down any sort of shelter or heating device that could have saved them and got them through the night. But great episode. Thanks.
Interesting. Thank you.
Yeah, like I think Dan's bank of thank yous.
It does seem to be the general assumption is that, you know, if you have a transporter problem, it's all the, you know, it's every transporter bay is not functioning. I mean, they all sort of work the same way.
Well, which sort of sounds crazy, though.
Didn't they try to send Didn't they try to send something down to the planet, but they couldn't because it like split it apart?
Okay, so here's the thing. It did split it into two. And it was a heating device.
Right.
And Spock does say in the episode that it was inoperable. Right. However, I think Steven's right that they could have beamed down like a whole bunch of blankets. That doesn't...
No, because...
Like, how is that inoperable?
Because you would split the part of the blanket with the part that's warm into two separate parts. Well,
they should have gone down with their shit in the fucking first place. And then when it just so happens in an emergency situation they get stranded, then they already have what they need.
Okay,
It's okay.
But Jesse's actually got the most correct answer
They should have brought them. I don't remember if I talked about that the last time.
I don't think you did, because you're right. They should have brought this stuff with them.
And we know that there are definitely, other than the tech manual, we know that there are more transporter rooms because O'Brien's favorite transporter room.
Well, that's
room,
a different ship.
Good at number three.
Yeah.
But it's not
that's
that
a different
much,
technical manual.
But it's not a big, it's not that much bigger. It's bigger. I mean, what's it like 1,000 versus 300 or 500 or something?
It's a lot bigger.
He's probably referencing the old school technical manual about the...
Well, I know we're talking about that's an original Star Trek episode. So I know we're not talking about like TNG Enterprise. I'm just saying that it's safe to assume that if the TNG Enterprise has more than one, the TOS one would have more than one.
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that goes without saying. Yeah, I agree. I honestly think you could have beamed down like a bunch of blankets or pillows or some shit or whatever. There's stuff you would, I don't know. They could build a house. They could plastic sheeting things.
It's like goddamn Enterprise. Like, why couldn't they come up with something?
Yeah. But I also agree with Steven's point that obviously, yes, it's just it was the plot point. It was what they were doing. You got to suspend disbelief. We're already talking about people transporting and stuff.
Yeah, but I mean,
and turning and splitting into a good side and a bad side.
But I mean, you can't dismiss everything simply because of the excuse of fantasy.
Yeah,
you still have to have rules in place.
Yeah.
This
is not NOM. There are rules. I just watched The Big Lebowski with my children. Okay. Thank you, Steven.
Thank you, Steven.
And now we are ready to dive right in. I'm jumping the gun. I almost started the discussion of crossover. Almost.
What were you thinking?
I don't know. I didn't realize that you had some other things.
Have you lost your mind?
Front matters. Is this news, Dan?
No. Last week you said that during crossover that you'd give us your opinion of crossover, or not crossover. I'm sorry. The enemy within. The enemy within. You never actually gave your opinion as to whether you liked it or not.
Oh, I don't know. I guess you could cobble together my opinion. I think I tried to say it at the end, which was that as an episode, it has a high degree of entertainment, and it's fun to watch Shatner play.
There are
crazy
some
Kirk.
Glaring issues with it, but like
I disagreed with the sort of philosophical underpinnings that are very essentialist.
Yeah. Okay. So, but the okay. Look,
which is by the way. The opposite of how the crossover handles this.
Right.
The crossover is more about...
It was a simplistic view of like how personalities and things work out. But I mean, they didn't have to go into super detail, you know? Yeah, like, but, you know, like, but they were also... I mean, I think there could be things to be taken away from it.
Maybe, but the problem is when
I know
you have
a lot of it is dulled by sort of vague word ideas.
Sometimes analogies or variations on things, simplifications, models can be very good. The old saying is all models are wrong, but some models are useful. Mm-hmm. But yes,
of course,
because it's to my mind such a flawed and potentially dangerous philosophy, the one potential argument you could take from watching The Enemy Within is an excuse to have shitty sides, shitty behavior, that then you can just say, oh, if I didn't have that like terrible feeling that I wanted to harm this person, then that I wouldn't be as good a person. And I think that's potentially problematic, yeah, even that if is. That's not I don't think that was the overt intention of the writers of the show, but it might have been an implicit, you know, it's a very male perspective of like, if I weren't such a fucking rapist piece of shit, I wouldn't be able to run this gas station.
It was the 60s.
Well, yeah. Right. Okay. So I thought it was, I enjoyed it because it was just, other than the glaring like issues you were talking about, it was fun to watch.
Absolutely. The dog is fun.
But we were
Sulu
talking
all snuggled up and cold is fun.
And we were talking about like the transporter magic. Now, that actually relates to this episode because, well, first the algorithm related these two concepts somehow. Maybe it's because I'm awesome. But the transport, like in terms of plot devices, I don't see that the transporter magic in that episode, I don't see that as sillier than the one in this episode. This had silly transporter.
This was squirmy wormhole magic.
Squirmy wormhole magic, which was based on transporter magic. But yeah, squirmy wormhole
magic. It
was magic,
like the wormhole was...
They had a plasma leak while they were going through the wormhole.
And the warp bubble hadn't completely collapsed was one thing that Bashir said in terms of the techno battle.
And then they got...
That original mirror crossing was a...
Was transporter.
And then when they went back through the wormhole to go home, they were lucky they still had that plasma leak, because otherwise
mimic the business.
It's always so funny when they have to, like, in movies or TV sci-fi stuff where they have to mimic the exact scenario something happens, because it's like, it's not
88 miles per hour.
Yeah, it's like, it's not
that's magic. That's technically magic.
It's just because you're in the vicinity of what happened when you got it originally doesn't mean it's going to happen again, but who cares. But the wormhole magic, I don't know that was necessarily less silly than the transporter
it's
magic
more,
in the
it's,
first
it's,
one.
It's,
when you say squirmy wormhole, it's sort of like, it sounds a lot more
it's like less interesting somehow. It's like it's more banal somehow.
Which one? The wormhole?
Yeah, well, because in the original Mirror episode, as Jesse was referencing, it was a transporter accident. As I recall, it was precipitated by some sort of like blue blob storm. Magnetic storm or something that, you know, vibrated whatever.
Neutrinos.
So this is a very similar kind of thing. But the effect in Mirror and in other versions where we see the switcheroo is kind of fun. And we don't get to see that here. We just see like a flash of light and then everything's all like gloomy and miserable looking. Everything's all super shitty.
Super shitty. Oh, and I was thinking about last week when you told me I could play whatever sound I wanted. Remember that time last week that happened, Patrick?
I do remember that.
That was quite a time.
You changed the course of history with that, Patrick, because had you not said to play that sound, I probably wouldn't have. When I recorded that, I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to fit this into the podcast. But because Patrick did that, I was able to play it. I don't think I would have been able to fit it in otherwise.
Maybe it's podcast magic.
Yeah. Maybe you either intuited that such a thing might happen.
It's what happens when you relinquish control and you let things happen.
Or it's because we know each other so well. Or some sort of spiritual entity inserted that thought into your head.
That appeals to me.
I bet it does.
You mean like...
Pa.
All right. It seems that we have successfully slid into the discussion of this week's episode.
Crossover. X over. You can also call it, and a lot of times people refer to it simply as X over.
A lot of times.
Who calls it that?
That's like pretty common. That's pretty common.
Who?
It's a common shorthand for crossover.
I don't believe you.
It's like they write an X and then they put an arrow that's going in like a U that's facing down so it looks like it's going over something. They put an X and then they put a little line and then they make an arrow go over the line. That's a shorthand
for
crossover.
You're a funny dude.
This is a time that I
like
do.
A Draythan puppy leg left on her doorstep.
I do lament that we don't have video of this because the audience would be getting quite the kick out of how Dan is pantomiming the symbol that he's created. animated.
Dan Smiley.
Look at this.
Dan Smiley.
All right, so...
Hello, Smiley.
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 So at the beginning...
How are you?
At the beginning of this episode... we hear that Kira and Bashir, for whatever reason, are coming back from New Bajor.
New Bajor. It's the first Bajoran colony in the Gamma Quadrant.
See, Bajor, one of the benefits of flirting with the Federation is that they get to take on Federation ideals like starting colonies.
Let's conquer another planet.
Yeah.
Presumably, hopefully empty planets that are verdant and full of flora and fauna, but not people.
I bet there's some people.
I was thinking about that show Firefly. That remember Firefly?
Yeah.
Yes. That was kind of like that. That was their take on like if the Federation went shitty is what they would in Firefly. What would have been the Alliance is like.
And they had guns.
They had guns in Star Trek.
Well,
no, they had like they had
phasers.
Shoot, slug throwing guns.
Shoot, yeah. Okay, ballistics.
Ballistics.
Yes. Anyway, I was just thinking about that. Is all. And you were talking, because what you were talking about, colonizing the Gamma Quadrant, and that made me think of Firefly, because that would have been like that kind of take on it.
I agree. I think it's a really good observation.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you did make a really good observation. I'm glad you recognize your own good observation.
I think you're
a capable fellow.
Oh, you recognize my observation?
But of course.
Yeah, that's right. Because I hadn't made that connection when you said Firefly. I thought, you know what? Dan is right.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of...
He's a smart fellow.
He is.
So
we keep him around. New Bajor.
So is Bashir? This is at season two. Has Bashir been exceedingly annoying to Kira up before he's just, this episode?
He's annoying to everybody.
He's sort of obnoxious until he gets the shit kicked out of him a few times, like he does later in this
episode.
Well,
I mean, I know that he's generally thought of as kind of pesky, like a pest rather,
but he's like a little sex pesty.
But I wasn't.
Well,
I was
earlier, he was kind of. Chasing after Dax a lot early on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which Kira
referenced. In the first episode.
Come on. Say it.
Yeah, Julian. That's weird.
Yeah, that was
like
weird.
A weird, aggressive thing to say.
Yeah. Yeah. What he said.
Oh!
When he, like, hit on her.
Yeah.
He didn't even realize he was doing it. He invited her to dinner. But I don't remember. I'm trying to remember. I'd have to rewatch a bunch of episodes, but I'm trying to remember episodes in which Kira was specifically more annoyed by Bashir.
She was annoyed by him.
Than others, because, like, he seemed like there was a particular rift between
the two. I believe it started.
Kira seems often annoyed by lots of people.
Yeah, but.
That's what I'm saying with her, though.
Extra. If I recall correctly, and I believe I do, I think it was in Emissary where he was. Commenting on the reason he had picked Deep Space Nine was because he was the top of his class and he could have picked any outpost, but he wanted to pick like a rugged redneck backwater.
Right. I think
and
I
Kira
remember
was
that.
Like, what the fuck did you just say?
Yeah.
You wanted to come to some like poor ass refugee shit because you're an asshole? You know, I always loved that they set these characters up to have immediate and believable conflict from the first episode, the opposite of Gene Roddenberry's TNG idea.
You know, Bashir may be superhuman, but he's subhuman when it comes to shutting up.
Dan read that off of his notes.
Why are you taking away the magic? It's a fucked up thing to do.
I think people can sense it from your
No, I don't think they can. I think that you're pulling the curtain over trying to blow up my spot, and I don't see why you're doing that.
Because your reading cadence was so overt in that particular case.
But like...
It was just a particularly acute reading.
And this is another thing. If there was video, they would have been able to tell.
If it was video, but it's not video. See, you're supposed to sell it. You're not selling it when you do that.
Dan also does like, I'm a reading face. He's got like a face.
Well, no one can see my reading face. Patrick, what you did is you didn't sell it. You didn't sell it. That's part of the entertainment magic is you have to sell it.
No, it's a fair point. You're absolutely correct. Okay. So yes, Bashir is aggravating.
He's subhuman when it comes to shutting up. Like, seriously, he didn't take the hint when she said, we usually just like to sit quietly. It wasn't even a hint. It was a straightforward statement. Breathing heavily is not being quiet. What are you doing, Bashir?
No, I hesitate to ask this. I hesitate to ask this. Because of what happened last week, do you have a copy? Do you have a version of Bashir panting that's just looped over and over? When I was watching the episode, I was like, I wonder if Dan's is going to do like a 5-minute loop.
I haven't done one of those in a while. That's interesting, though.
You can simulate it. Oh, hold on. Keep it going. Yeah. It sounds about right.
There you go.
Yeah.
You should make more like electronic music.
I think we got exactly what we needed right there.
Yeah, totally.
Well,
We got something.
There.
All right.
It got going there for a bit.
Meditation. Going, meditation. Mr.
Barry, intendant.
Mr. Breathy. We've gone over Mr. Breathy, but this was, of course, a hilarious, cute, and character building scene. Something that Deep Space Nine was so consistently good at. Advancing character relationships, advancing individual characters' development in relation to each other, while also being entertaining and funny and touching, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then...
Audience, that was Patrick reading from his notes.
Oh, burn.
So now, like, okay, just to be clear, I wasn't reading. That was extemporaneous off the top of my head.
Yeah, sure. We don't... Too bad. It's convenient we don't have video to prove it.
This guy doesn't have those kind of notes. It's just generals.
It's convenient we don't have video to prove this statement.
Dan, he was staring at me during the whole process.
Who are you going to believe? Me or that guy, Patrick? Who are you going to believe? Me, Dan, or that guy, Patrick?
Patrick or Dan?
I don't know why you keep pointing at me. Nobody can see you pointing.
Or that guy, Patrick. Or me, Dan.
Everybody can see you.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, they go through the wormhole. They end up in the mirror universe.
Wormhole.
And they get captured by a couple of Klingons. Briefly captured.
Captured
the Klingons wormhole. inexplicably, back off. And everyone's like, Kira and Bashir are like, what the fuck?
Well, because in crossover world, Klingons get scared.
Well, if they encounter the Intendant. With a random Terran.
They still like to battle, though. Strange, they still like to battle, which is interesting.
Yeah, they do.
There's something the mirror
they
people
just might want to battle
see,
you.
See, mirror Kira and other Kira are like totally polar opposites, but then you got the mirror Klingons, which are like they're a little more meek, but they still like to battle. You have mirror O'Brien, which is essentially just O'Brien in a shitty situation.
Yeah.
But then you have
kind of like regular
But then you have
O'Brien's kind of a neutral everyman character in every universe.
But then you've got mirror Odo, who's same job position, but approached from the exact opposite direction. Sort of.
Well, I think it makes sense to briefly touch on each of these characters.
Touch on you.
Because, as I was saying about The Enemy Within, I was not a fan of The Enemy Within's overt and seemingly positive support for an essentialist viewpoint. In other words, that people are the sum of their genetic parts, right?
Is it worth using like a term if you have to then explain that term after you use it?
Sure it is.
Yeah, because then people learn the term if they
learn
didn't know
the
it
term.
This is an educational podcast above all else.
Then okay. You learn the
right.
Term.
Yeah, you're
we have
right
a
about
rule.
That.
Somebody has to learn at least one thing.
What are you talking about?
Each episode, even if what they learn is that Dan collects farts in jars.
I don't think so.
From the morning to the dark.
He puts him on a shelf and he's got a whole room for his farts.
I don't know you.
Okay.
Down with them.
Enemy Within is 100% essentialist, whereas Crossover is the opposite. Not 100% the opposite, but it does...
Maybe like 93% opposite.
No, it supports... And by the way, so does Mirror Mirror. This is the funny thing. TOS was inconsistent because Mirror Mirror also supported the idea that people's personalities are driven in large part or to a significant degree by their circumstance, by their experience, not because of some essential... capacity for whatever
decision circumstance.
On the other hand, there are a couple things, as you know, Dan, that do remain consistent between the universes. Like Odo is into like keeping order,
but he's
stuff.
A total. But he's like the opposite approach. He's
yeah,
like a totally different approach.
Garrett,
and he actually seems confident in this one. Yeah. Whereas there's a large portion of him that even though he's an
that's the opposite part.
That's the opposite part because in like regular Odo, he's like assertive and powerful and can control shit. And he's got his shit together.
He's got
but there's an aspect of like major insecurity.
Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely. But then Garrick is much crueler than the Garrick.
But he still likes Taylor.
He's got that oily charm, you know, that sort of like slithery charm, that snakey.
Quark!
And O'Brien's morality is similar, as well as his talent for tinkering.
Yeah,
right.
So that's similar. And so he doesn't have much opposite other than his...
Tinkerer and putterer. And
putterer.
Fixer of broken things.
Indeed. And then Kira, she's probably the most different, but they're both powerful women.
Right. Right? The thing about Kira
they're both powerful people.
It's hard to really see how their difference relates to each other.
Yeah.
Like what I was saying with Odo, you can see how it relates because it's kind of an opposite yet same position. But Kira, like, yeah, she's still powerful and assertive, but like the other Kira, would you say she's dishonorable and the regular Kira is honorable? Like, how are they opposing?
I think
they're just different.
The main difference is that Intendant Kira, basically, particularly at the end of the episode, sounds just like Gul Dukat. She's saying the same things Gul Dukat would say.
She's
all like, oh, I was so nice to you. I treated you so well, and you went against me. Like we've seen Gul Dukat do exactly that. I don't want to be a Gul Dukat about this.
Oh no!
But we got to take a break.
Okay. Well, I was gonna make a point.
All right, we'll take a break, and when we come back, you'll make your point, and then we'll do our second break. Fun 'em up. Okay.
All right.
We will be right back.
You must come with us.
That's sexy.
That is sexy.
Now, Dan, before I start the podcast, did you gather your note? Gathered it in your brain?
Yes.
Okay. So what I'm going to do after Jesse's going to retrieve a single or possibly multiple chicharrones.
All right. Right,
and then we can.
You realize that when you chew those, it's about as loud as opening a bag when you chew those things.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to chew it on mic.
but even if you're like off over here.
Well, I'm going to eat them real fucking fast, dude.
All right. No, it's okay.
Sounds like a fucking cartoon.
This is fine. It's all good.
Oh, Jesse smushed him.
Jesse's getting the chicharrones.
Don't choke, bro.
Dan's getting his point together.
After
we discuss Dan's point, we will have a second break. Fun him up, because it is now the second break.
What are we doing?
We're ready to go. We're back. All right, officially, we're back.
You're disturbing my nap.
Here we are. We're back. Okay. Dan's point.
Oh.
What was your point?
Well, all I was going to say, it's not like a big point or nothing.
Ha.
First of all, I wanted to note that Garrick, in both universes, he's into clothing. He was talking about, like, he commented on someone's tailoring.
Nicely tailored. He appreciates a nicely tailored
Admire a well tailored gown. That's what Kira was doing thing. What I was gonna say about the Bajorans, that was we were talking about how Kira was different but not necessarily opposite. Mm-hmm. Although you argued she could be if you consider Gul Dukat like kind of an opposite.
It was like a different role. Instead of being the refugee freedom fighter, she was the dictator.
Well, and actually this kind of point goes along with that because Bajor, first of all, they weren't occupied by the Cardassians, they were occupied by the Terrans.
Mm. Yeah.
Which, by the way, we have a pronunciation issue here.
Ah, it's another one of these classic Dan records all the different ways that people pronounce
there
a
was
particular
some funny
word.
Pronunciation. Yes.
And I agree. I was listening out for
so
this.
So listen carefully to these.
All right.
Terrans don't have souls. We don't believe in them.
All right, there's one. Terrans.
Terrans.
What do Terrans believe in?
That's the proper way.
Yeah,
I would
then we have.
Every
Terran
died a long time ago.
Terrans don't have souls.
Every
we don't believe
Terran.
In them.
So we have died a long time ago.
We have Sisko says Terran, Bashir says Terran.
Terran.
And then Kira says it correctly. But they were occupied by the Terrans, and when they were freed, instead of being freedom fighters like in the regular universe, they became like jerk people.
Yeah.
So that is kind of like along...
That's how the mirror universe
so
works.
So that's kind of along... Their role is different. Yeah.
Everybody's a jerk.
It's interesting.
Yeah. They didn't like... You know, they weren't like freed from enslavement and been like, oh boy, now we should fight for freedom of other people.
No, they were like, we're going to enslave the people who previously had enslaved us.
Like the robots are going to do, like when in the future.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah.
Good point. Okay, so now.
Chief O'Brien?
Yes, excellent. Chief O'Brien indeed.
Well, no one knows more about transporters than Chief O'Brien.
Chief O'Brien?
It was hard for Chief O'Brien as well at first. We had our problems too.
Chief O'Brien?
It was indeed hard for Chief O'Brien. All right.
Smiley.
So, second break, fun 'em up. What we're going to do here is going to be sort of a riff on Guy Montgomery's Guy Mont Spelling Bee, which is a great program out of New Zealand. And I highly recommend it. I think you can find some of them on YouTube or elsewhere on the internet. Check it out. Guy Montgomery's Guy Mont Spelling Bee.
Sure.
Yes.
Of course.
We can call it Patrick Ireland's Pat Rick Spelling Bee without the D.
I'm listening.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. We have three rounds of this. I'm going to give each of you will get to spell a different word.
Or, now, wait a minute.
Or phrase. You can ask for a definition or have me use it in a sentence and or have me use the word in a sentence. I highly recommend you both ask for a definition and how to use it in a sentence.
Is this a spelling bee?
Yes. Do you understand? So you understand the concept? It's related to this episode. You'll get it once we get into this, right? Just this.
What are you talking about?
Okay. Here, well, how about we start and then you'll figure this out. So we'll start with you, Dan. Could you please spell the word intendant? I'm not looking. I wasn't accusing you of cheating. I was going to remind you that you could ask me for a definition and you can ask me to use it in a sentence. And I strongly encourage you to do so.
Okay. What does it mean?
You've asked for the definition. The definition is the negative abbreviation for something Dan said he would do but didn't.
Oh.
Very intendant.
Exactly. See,
the negative abbreviation for something I said I was going to do but didn't.
Yes, intendant.
Okay.
Dant.
Okay, I see what we're doing now.
Would you like me to use it in a sentence? Would that help?
I can't figure it out.
I'd ask him to bring me some salt and vinegar chips to the party, but I'm afraid he'd intendant.
He'd intend.
All right, spell intendant.
He would intendant. I don't understand the usage of the
sentence.
It's meant to be humorous.
But I understand the definition, but not the... I get the joke in the definition,
but...
Do
you understand humor?
But not the joke in the sentence.
Well, how about...
I was going to bring chips, but I intendant.
I'd ask him to bring some salt and vinegar chips to the party, but I'm afraid he'd intendant. See, what I've done is I've made up a definition, and it's a bit
oh,
nonsense.
I'm using my joke definition
in the sentence.
Oh, I thought you were using another pun.
That's not necessarily true for all of these sentences.
Well, I thought you were using another pun. That's why I was trying to figure out, like, I thought you were doing another wordplay thing. But you were just going off your definition.
I was just going off my definition.
Oh, I see. This is a complicated game.
But yes. But so far, it's working out pretty well from my perspective. So, how do you spell intendant?
I-N-T-E-N-D-A-N-T.
Perfect. Good. Word Dan gets there. 1 point.
Yay.
All right. Jesse, please spell the word intendant how I thought it would be spelled. And don't forget, you can ask me for a definition and to use the word in a sentence.
May I please have a definition?
It is similar to intendant, except spelt in a more sensible fashion.
What's the word?
Intendant. I'll use it in a sentence. Oh, right. Wouldn't it make more sense if intendant was spelled intendant? Now that sentence works better if you can read it, which in this case,
of course.
So how would you spell intendant the way I think it should be spelled? The way I thought it was spelled before I looked it up.
I would say I N T E N D E N T.
That's correct.
No.
That's correct.
No.
Jesse gets a point. That's how I thought it would be spelled until...
Forget it.
I don't think so.
Looked it
up. In your face, Smiley.
All right. Dan, round two out of the three rounds. Dan, please spell the phrase Drathen Puppy Lig.
Oh, shit.
Can you please define Drathen Puppy Lig?
Yes, it is some nonsense the writers came up with.
Like a Drathen puppy leg left on her doorstep.
Would you like me? I know Garrick just used it in a sentence. Would you like me to use it in a sentence as well?
Yeah, because Garrick's sentence usage didn't really tell us anything about it.
It didn't. So this might help out a little bit. Drathen puppy leg is a phrase that was used in this episode of Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
That was just about as useful as Garrick's sentence.
Well, I'm sorry. I did my best.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So how do you spell Drathen?
Well, you watched it with captions.
Drathen Puppy Lig.
D as in dog, R-A-T-H-A-N as in Nancy, space P-U-P-P-Y like the dog, space L-I-G as in great.
Perfect.
Perfect.
One point to Dan.
Yes.
Dan has a total of 2 points. Very well done, Dan. Jesse, your turn. Please spell the word pa.
Pa.
Would you like a definition of the word pa?
May I have a sentence first?
Embark on a spiritual journey to explore your pa, or whatever. Pa.
He's Given, here's the sentence. Given his druthers, Bashir would have played oompa pa music in the run, in the runabout. That one got, that one made Dan mad.
Oompa pa. He played oompa pa music.
Yes, that's the sentence.
Great, but that's different.
Given his druthers, Bashir would have played oompa pa music in the and the definition is something that sounds vaguely spiritual yet somehow patronizing at the same time. Let me feel your pa.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, see? Exactly. How do you spell pa, Jesse?
Like, okay. There's going to be many ways you could possibly spell pa, but like it seems like...
They call him Dr. Caveat.
It seems like... No one's ever called me that.
No, I'm just... now they're going to start calling you that.
You know, nobody before has ever called me Dr. Caveat, but this time.
All right. How do you spell pa?
What a damn shame.
It seems like the more Deep Space Nine sort of Bajoran way of saying pa would just be like P-A.
It sounds like it, but it's not. It's
No.
Does it have an H in it?
Incorrect. It's P A G H.
Oh shit!
I know.
That's like
clumsy fool, stupid Terran pig.
Jesse's a stupid Terran pig.
Damn,
stupid Terran pig.
I'm not from the Terran universe.
All right. Well,
what a damn shame.
Dan's got 2 points. Jesse has 1 point. And
you have much to learn.
The third and final round. Dan, please spell Baldaric. As in the Baldaric Masters.
Oh shit.
You want a definition?
Baldaric? Yeah, why not?
All right.
That's the joke of the game, right?
Baldaric. It's like regular Eric, but more aggressive.
Oh.
Baldaric. Would you like it in a sentence?
I don't think I have a choice.
The Baldaric Masters must master the Baldaric Masterpieces. So if you don't recall, Baldaric is a reference
you
to...
You know, your sentence...
Bashir...
You used a lot more effort in like your first sentence than the subsequent sentences.
No, this is a really good one. The Baldaric Masters must master the Baldaric Masterpieces. That's a great sentence, because the Baldaric Masters are what Bashir was referring to when he was talking about that Joran Tell guy.
No, but the first
Bajoran
one...
composer.
But the first one, what was clever is that you said intendant, which was... What was the definition for intendant, by the way?
Oh, I'll scroll back up in my notes so that I don't get it wrong here,
yeah.
Which is the negative abbreviation for something Dan said he would do but didn't.
Intendant.
Well, I mean, you know, not all the words are as.
What is negative abbreviation? Just means a word, right?
Well, yeah, like don't, like do not.
I thought you meant in negative abbreviation, as in like the opposite of abbreviation, which would be the entire word.
Would be an enlengthiation.
I guess everything would be an.
So you're saying dant is.
Okay, but the point I was getting at is, Patrick, when you then use that in a sentence, you were talked about some chips and me intending to bring chips because you
used find that sentence is less successful than this sentence. This is the more clever sentence.
No, but you had the theme there was you define something based on a pun, uh-huh. And then you use that definition in a sentence. With this, you're not defining the word in your sentence. You're just saying it, and I have no more knowledge about the word after you finish the sentence than I did at the start of the sentence.
Yeah, but it's funny. Because it's the Baldaric.
That's what's so funny about it.
The Baldaric Masters must master the Baldaric Masterpieces, which fits into this
episode. But that still
doesn't
tell me anything about Baldaric.
Okay, well.
It's just playing with the English language.
That's the clue. Those are the clues you get.
It's the magic of English.
It's like regular Eric, but more aggressive, and the Baldaric Masters must master the Baldaric Masterpieces. So how do you spell Baldaric?
I have no idea. I'm going to guess B-A-L-D-E-R-I-C.
Almost. Oh. It's B-O-L-D-A-R-I-C.
I was going to say you.
I wasn't that close. I was sort of close.
You got the structure right. Yeah. You got the number of letters right.
Yeah.
All right. So it's 2-1 right now with only Jesse. One question left. So Jesse,
this is my fault.
You have a chance. You have a chance to tie.
Tie it up.
We'll see if you can manage it.
Let him die slowly.
Jesse, please spell.
Damn you, Dan.
Please spell Deep Space Nine.
That's a gimme.
You can ask for a definition.
Yeah, remember, you can ask for a definition, Jesse. You can.
I can.
Yeah. You don't have but you're highly encouraged to.
Or let me use it in a sentence. I can
use it in a sentence.
All right. Deep Space Nine is the best Star Trek series.
What's the definition?
The definition is the name assigned by Starfleet to the Cardassian-built space station previously named Terek Nor. Okay,
there are no jokes in this one. You're just coming up with this on the
deep
fly.
Deep space.
You just nine. Came up with this. You didn't write this one down before.
No, it's written down here. It's right here.
DEEPSPACENINE.
Yes, that is correct. However...
Did you forget rule of obedience number 14?
Sir.
Which is to include spaces, and Dan vocalized his spaces. So Dan gets a point.
Boom,
one.
Shit.
Point one. You get 0.9 boom. Points for that. So
that's dirty.
Dan wins by 0.01 points.
I didn't think
is that clear?
I don't follow any rules of obedience.
Wait, I win by like 2 points, don't I?
Yeah. No. You were you
1.
You
1.9.
You had 2 points, and Jesse had 1 point. I'm going to give him 0.99 points.
Okay, so I win by 1.01.
Win by 0.01.
No, I win by 1.01.
Not too bad.
No. You
I had 2 points. He had one,
and he's adding 0.99.
Sort of a George
so
Bush
now he's
win.
1.99.
Wait,
and
he's
you
only
have
gotten one of these right.
No, he's gotten two
right.
No, he didn't.
Yes.
Look, I got
you
that
spelled
right,
pa
but
wrong?
He changed the rules on me.
You spelled pa wrong?
No, yes. You got the first one right.
What was the first one?
The first one was, how would I spell intendant?
Yeah, it was like the alternate way to spell intendant.
You each got three, and you both got one wrong, and he got most of one right.
And this is all a misunderstanding.
You still won, man. Come on.
I know Dan's.
I wanted
always
to win by more.
You won in like a George Bush way.
You did win a total
squig by
total George Bush win. All right. Well, back to the episode. That was fun. It was fun for me anyway. We'll see what the audience instant reaction is. We'll check the Nielsen ratings as soon as the
very
is,
intendant
published. All right. Did you notice Mira Kira was sometimes seemed to be like taller than. Than regular Kira?
I think it was high heels.
Could be. Yeah, that's probably what it was. I just noticed there were
everybody
a couple,
in the Mirror Universe wears high heels.
A couple scenes.
Both Kira and Mira Kira didn't like violence, except Mira Kira was like still all laughy and jokey about it. It was weird.
Well, and she came off as sort of a psychopath.
Yeah, she did.
She because, was more fun though.
Well, like
she would say she didn't like violence, but she would still commit the violence.
Right. And then there was this one.
No, attendant, please. I made a mistake. Have mercy. No, please.
And then she's like, what should we wear tonight? You know, and that, and if it, like, yeah. It's like she cuts straight to like,
she's being, like, ha, 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 ha,
we're going to have a great time at the party. And like, and that's when it
sense on her
and it cuts to perfume. Kira and Kira's look is like, she realizes, whoa, this person
this is a psychopath.
So like
fucked up. Yeah.
Like Quark gets eliminated. And so does
Quark.
Man, Odo gets blown to
he
fucking
he gets blown
bits.
The fuck up. Whatever happened to the Hippocratic Oath? Why didn't Bashir set his phaser to stun?
Well, he grabbed a weapon from
just
a guard.
One.
So I think we can take it a few ways. First of all, as Star Trek has shown, there are many cultures that don't even have a stun option on their weapons.
I imagine the Mirror Universe they would.
Exactly.
Not.
You could see that being sort of.
He blew up. It was so violent.
A subtle indicator.
Subtle, but.
A subtle indicator of some of the cultural attributes of the Alliance. So there's that.
Like he blew up into chunks of stuff.
And yes, and I think it was just, you know. It looked awesome.
Yeah.
David Livingston, who directed this episode, complained that it was
really
hard. I mean, he's directed a ton
of
Star Trek. But he said it was really, really tough. He said the sets were tough, the lighting, everyone had makeup because they had so few humans, and the humans were all wearing, like, you know, had to look dirty and wearing different costumes. It was a really expensive episode.
He is irreplaceable.
But that blowing up Odo shit was great. And it was especially kind of funny because we never saw Mirror Odo do any transforming.
No.
Which would presumably was for the same reason he would be selected.
And they didn't know about the other Odos because they didn't know about the wormhole.
Yeah, exactly. The other Odos.
He was the only one of his kind.
The gooey.
Did you,
the gooey peeps.
Yeah. Mirakira was.
Well, they didn't know about that until the end of season two, pretty much.
Mirakira was like upset about losing Odo in the same way she'd be upset about losing breaking a priceless vase or vase.
Or having a factory foreman get in a car accident. Yeah.
No, I think she was more like she thought of Odo as like
it's
kind
like
of like
horse.
Her prize. It was like a prize. Yeah,
like
yeah.
A, like
you know,
a well-bred
okay,
horse.
I get what you're saying. Like, I was thinking more in the fact that she's now inconvenienced. But
oh,
you're
yeah,
right.
She is inconvenienced.
I think both are true.
Right.
But I think you're right. It's not just the inconvenience.
It's like that was her special like toy
yeah.
that she had.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know,
another good observation.
Cisco. Yeah, she's fucked up.
You've had at least two brilliant observations.
Brilliant, amazing.
That's really good.
This guy brings it to the podcast.
I mean, it's such a good thing week to week to get together and we learn all sorts of clever things in real time.
Holograms.
Yes.
Yes.
Holograms.
Holograms. Kira, at the beginning, Kira was all talking to Mirakira about like, hey, you're a good leader. Teach me to be a good leader. Do you think she was doing that to try to appeal to her?
Yeah, she
appeal
knows,
to herself?
Man.
Like, she didn't actually want to get... You think part of her actually did want some tips, though, to be like, how did you get in this kind of control?
Just as like maybe, a side effect. Yeah. She's like, okay, I'm going to manipulate this person.
Yeah.
And because they're me, I'm going to know how to manipulate them. And she's going to take some psychological guesses and use her skills that she developed as a freedom fighter, etc. But as a side effect, if she can get some good management tips.
The mirror people don't think are like... So? Weaker no. to manipulation or something.
It's the same reason yeah. that
but it depends.
It's the same reason that assertive, bad impulse Kirk is more cowardly than the logical, intelligent Kirk or something.
Or something.
Or something.
No, I mean, yeah, it's an interesting point. Because it gets back to what you were saying earlier about how the mirror Kira, it's not as much of like an opposite or whatever. It's just a different way to characterize somebody in the quote unquote mirror universe. Because the thing is, the mirror universe is a silly idea to begin with, right?
Yes, it's totally silly.
Everyone's opposite. It's right. never. It's never.
That's what I'm saying. It was. It's at least as silly as the fucking Enemy Within. Unless you're like. Well, there's infinite universes, but then you'd have to be like, well, why would you always come to this one where everything's like kind of the opposite, you know?
Yeah, it's more aggressive. It just seems like everything's more aggressive. And the same thing plays out in...
And they're more like, everybody's more like sexual.
They're
always having orgies and shit.
Mirakira wanted to have sex with Kirakira.
Yeah, dude.
Well, you know, brings up a good question.
What's the question? They did.
Would you want to have sex with your mirror counterpart? If your mirror counterpart was all leathery and slithery and sexy,
that's a given, isn't
it? Would you?
Probably.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't see why not.
I think it might end up happening.
Because it's more about like, you got to try some things out from time to time. You know what I'm saying?
Is it just like masturbating? Is it on that level?
I don't think it's exactly like masturbating. I've heard that
like
argument.
Yeah.
I don't think it quite makes sense, having sex with some sort of clone of yours, time clone, dimensional clone, whatever. It's maybe the umbrella of masturbation, it's not the same as masturbating.
But there's a different... reason to being attracted to yourself versus attracted to anybody else. Like if you're attracted to yourself, there's a different kind of attraction there.
Like a narcissism?
Yeah, something like basically.
Like a sexual narcissism.
Yeah, this is what it is, right.
Because I don't know that I would be attracted to myself.
A dark discussion.
But I'd be, you know, sometimes you when in Rome.
Yeah.
So to speak.
It might happen.
You know?
When in Patrick.
That's certainly one way to look at it.
When there's two Patricks.
So, yeah, Mirakira, she was all seductive.
She
like,
was.
And she was all like, oh.
She had a headband.
Is that clear?
She was all like, oh.
Okay. I was kind of thinking that was going to segue into some sort of broader point. But I guess not.
He just kept saying, oh.
It was just about, oh, hello.
Oh, you know how to manipulate me.
That was one of her lines.
I really liked this idea that Kira immediately understands, or the intendant, I should say.
Super Nintendo Chalmers.
That she immediately understands what's happened here based off of the history that they've learned about the incursion by Kirk. I further love that Kira...
I think they were just like ready for it.
Kira, our Kira, rightly does not have any clue who the fuck Captain Kirk is. She's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Captain.
Have you ever heard of a Starfleet captain named James Kirk? Perhaps you'd recognize the name Kirk.
She's like, no.
That's interesting that like everyone knows about Kirk.
Yeah, that was really fun. It's just those subtle things again that Deep Space Nine in particular does so well at sort of almost poking fun at the lore of our heroes.
Not talking about Data's brother.
Jesus.
Indeed,
Dan, we are not.
Nope. Not that.
Okay.
Too much soda.
Too much sody pop. Chugging soda. Chugging pop. I'm gonna chug some pop.
Been chugging pop.
I've been chugging pop.
Dude, don't say pot. We
pop.
We grew up and reside in the mid-Atlantic.
Soda.
I knew someone that said pop.
We've all known someone who said pop.
I want some pop.
And we know
but
people,
not for very long.
We know people have moved from areas where they say pop, which is fine. If you live in one of those areas where they say pop, you say pop. When in Rome.
Well, Patrick.
If you say pop, you get popped.
I don't think we've
here,
ever,
I don't think
any of us know anyone specifically that refers to all kinds and flavors of soda as Coke. Because like some people,
no, that's down in Georgia.
Where they're like, what do you want to drink? I want a Coke. They're like, what kind of Coke? I want a Sprite Coke.
But I've encountered that in Atlanta. Coke.
Yeah, but we don't know anybody who's done that. You said we know people.
I was talking about pop. Yeah,
I know you were talking about pop. I'm just saying.
Nobody's talking about Coke.
I was offering it as a, but we do not know this. I wasn't arguing with you.
All right.
What are you talking about?
I'm not entirely sure.
Where were we?
I'm not 100% sure.
Clumsy fool, stupid Terran pig.
Quiet.
Wormhole, Kira.
Bashir goes, now wait a minute. And Garrett goes, don't take that tone with me, Taren. And Bashir's like, Taren. And then the intendant says, if you are whom I suspect you are, I'm afraid I can't run the risk of letting you go. Who does she expect they were? The mirror people? Did she suspect that all along?
I think as soon as she sees other Kira, this universe, they are primed to assume that the.
Primed to assume.
Yes, they are primed to assume. What's wrong with that?
No, it's nothing. It's got a nice ring to it,
all right,
actually.
Well, they are primed to assume.
They are primed to assume.
That were you to encounter.
They are here, locked, and primed to assume.
Locked.
They're primed, locked. Primed to assume that were they to encounter an unexpected doppelganger, unexpected as in they weren't they weren't born as a twin, and they weren't doing or undergoing some sort of twin-making experiment,
yes.
And they didn't have some sort of transporter experiment where it was obvious that a twin had been created. If it was an unexpected twin that they had encountered, that there was a high probability that this was a counterpart from the other universe.
Dun, dun, dun.
So I like that. I think that's cool that they were primed.
The previous crossover caused so much disruption in their world. They're on the lookout now in case anybody else crosses.
And that's the other brilliant thing that this episode does that has those clear hallmarks of a Deep Space Nine style story, where at the end of Mirror Mirror, we assume, due to our neoliberal upbringing.
You said doo-doo. You said doo-doo.
Doo-doo or no doo-doo. We assume at the end of Mirror Mirror that good Kirk's influence on evil Spock would have a positive outcome.
But it's like that Halloween episode of The Simpsons where Lisa wished for world peace, and then there was world peace, and then allowed the aliens to find their weakness
so
they could invade.
That's what happens.
So Kirk fucked the mirror universe up.
Which in turn, Robert Hewitt Wolf and Michael Piller were talking about putting together the basic story for this episode, because they had been wanting to do a mirror universe episode for many years, and on TNG they never were able to come up with
something
Rick Berman was into. I guess Rick Berman wasn't paying attention at this point, so they were able to do it. I think it was Robert Hewitt Wolf who had mentioned that he was thinking about the Roman Empire or the Chinese dealing with the Mongolians, that there was a certain level of aggression that was required to maintain their empires, and sort of it was like the debate was, is it better to be peaceful and overrun or aggressive and safe? And that's, of course, there's no easy answer to that.
Interesting. I like that they left it open at the end with it's like there's still hope for the mirror universe.
Exactly.
So I don't know. They've never really come back to that, but
they have, because Deep Space Nine does five episodes.
Yeah, do they do five episodes?
Yeah.
This is the first of five episodes that they do.
That was completely incorrect statement.
Yeah, no.
They do the most mirror episodes.
They do.
My mistake.
Yeah, although, I guess they do technically. Well,
Discovery's got a few.
Discovery, it can be tricky to disentangle a little bit because there's more complicated interaction with the mirror universe that kind of goes beyond being in the mirror universe.
True.
In that case. Anyway, all right, well,
that
we're coming up
discussion.
On another break.
Oh, right, man.
I'm gonna get Wouldn't ready to you crinkle believe some it? Crinkles.
All right, so Jesse's going to crinkle some crankles. Dan, what was it that you were going to do on the break? Did you have any plans
I'm
for
gonna,
the break?
I'm gonna open a seltzer. I'm going to sizzle a seltzer.
Take a walk down the street.
No, you're not.
Are you going to go make some growly noises in the toilet?
I'm gonna drop a grumpy, or what's it called?
I don't know. What are you talking about?
A growler?
A grumpy. It's like because you make that face when you go number grumpy. Two. Something about doing something with a grumpy.
A frowner?
No, it's a grumpy. The word is grumpy.
I don't know what you're talking about.
What's in question is not that word. It's the words leading up to the
Never
word grumpy.
Never heard about it.
All right.
She keeps saying growler or frumpy or giving a frowno. That's what they call in Australia, the frowno. Doing a frowno.
You're just making that up.
Jess is going to do some crunchies. Dan's going to do a frowno. We'll be back.
I'm going to go on frowno.
we'll be back as soon as we can. Be right back.
Embark on a spiritual journey to explore your pa or whatever.
All right, we are back.
What is your designation?
I don't have a designation, sir.
What's your designation? I don't have a designation, sir.
So, Odo.
Odo.
Odo's rules
of obedience.
Or
what we like to call him,
Odo.
Mirror Odo or Modo.
Who called him that?
No jokes.
What do you think some of Odo's... Well, okay, first, what were the rules of obedience that we learned?
Did you forget rule of obedience number 14?
No, that was the no jokes one, right? But did we learn any other rules of obedience?
Let's see. No jokes. Another rule of obedience. I don't has a design... Something about having a... No, he slept...
Was it Ican has cheeseburger?
Ican has cheeseburger. I think there was a 14. It was the only one we got because Bashir goes because he goes, "What's your designation?" Bashir's like, "I don't have a designation." Then Odo goes, "I don't have a designation, sir." And then Bashir goes, "Another rule of obedience," but it's not because Modo slaps him for saying that. So I think that was the only. It's not like the rules of acquisition where we slowly fed a trickling stream of.
Well, that's because Odo got blown up.
Odo got blown up. We'll never find out.
But
you know that's really when you think about it, that's like a huge decision the studio made. They eliminated that character. From that
that's
entire
saying,
universe
man.
and Quark as well.
Oh yeah,
presumably.
Right.
Presumably.
Oh yeah, that's another thing.
I was saying that
Quark,
before.
We didn't mention Mirror Quark. So Quark only works for Latinum, but Mirror Quark is like a freedom fighter.
Yeah.
I've already used that term, freedom fighter. But like he like runs.
But before you said freedom fighter.
He's a freedom
so
fighter.
So he transports people.
My name is Quark, and I'm a freedom fighter.
So he transported people not for Latinum. In fact, they don't know what Latinum is in the Mirror Universe.
They don't
apparently,
know what it is.
He said it was on Gold Press. What?
Because either only Quark. I have a hard time believing that there's Gold Press Latinum, and there are people that don't know what it is. So when Quark says like, "What's Latinum?" They were like, because Kira was like, "Yeah, you're doing this for Latinum." He's like, "What's Gold Press Latinum?" That to me says that there's no Gold Press Latinum in the Mirror Universe. But then when Quark said, he was complaining about how that the Alliance was like taxing them heavy, mm-hmm. What do you think they were taxing them if it wasn't Gold Press Latinum?
Well, any other currency.
We've never heard of any other currency.
Some hard
no,
shit.
There are lots of other currencies.
We've never heard of any other currency.
There's Starfleet credits.
No.
You've never
Klingon
heard.
Klingon Kroner.
There's no Starfleet credits.
Klingon Kroner.
There's no scarcity in
Vulcans use Euros for some reason.
There's...
It might be a coincidence.
No jokes.
No, there's no credits in Starfleet because there's no.
No, there are credits.
No, they're not because there's no scarcity and they don't have money in the in there.
There's
credits. If you can't say there's no money and then say there's credits because credits are money.
Money.
I apologize that the franchise is inconsistent on this point, but there are credits in Starfleet, or at least in the Federation, if we don't want to say Starfleet. Now it could be, I don't know how those credits are provisioned, but people have replicator credits, transporter credits, they have credits they use on Ryza and places like that.
That's
you know?
True.
Those people on Ryza are not prancing about.
It's like
for free
Chuck E. Cheese tokens.
So there's a Memory Alpha entry about Federation credits, and what it says is that there is no such thing as Federation credits.
Okay.
That was the article titled Federation
from
Credit.
From Chuck.
That's what it said for that.
What we've got to explain to the audience is that Dan is making his super coy face, which means he's just making shit up.
Okay. No.
And he's making his reading
face. He did like a little dance. He did like a little coy dance.
Around the room. No, here's what it actually says. Although it was stated on more than one occasion that the economy of the future was very different and that money no longer existed on Earth from as early as the late 22nd century or in the Federation as late as the 24th century, this medium of exchange did still exist within that period. So there's no money, but there's credits. So there's no. So I don't Why would they tax people's credits? That doesn't make sense. If it's not a monetary unit, it's just.
No, because it is a monetary.
No, credits just represent.
This is not. This is the mirror universe. This is not our universe. It credits, makes sense for them to tax.
Yeah, those guys might have money.
Credits are not money. They're simply something you earn that affords you rights to acquire things.
Yes, you've just described money.
I know, but there's a nuanced difference. There's a nuanced difference because these credits do no good to the government because government doesn't need credits. They don't need to like buy stuff from other like companies and stuff. They don't need to like purchase bombs from this arms dealer.
This is entirely wrong.
And so they don't.
Government needs money to do all sorts.
Governments do need money. That's why governments.
No, I know real governments do. Yes, I know real governments do. I'm saying
like the Alliance.
No, not Star Trek government. I'm saying
this
Star
is the
Trek.
Mirror universe.
In this, look, I know that real. That was my entire point. Is that in the real world, governments, the reason taxes are useful to them is because they use that money to buy shit from other places. In Star Trek, the governments don't need to do that because they have replicators and shit, so they don't need to purchase things. So what they do is they provide people with credits as a means of as a right to acquire things, which is nuanced difference from money.
Okay, the point I would. Add
it's very close. You're right. It's almost identical.
I would add.
You're right.
That's just on a ship.
You're, wait. You're right. It's almost identical, but I'm saying it's a very slight difference. And the difference being is that money is useful to government and people, whereas credits are only useful to people.
All right. There's actually 2 points I'm going to make. First of all, it's not only almost identical. Anything can be a currency. There are cultures that use giant rocks as currency.
Oh my God, you're going to... No, don't explain currency to me because I just said that I understand...
Anything can become currency. The other thing I
would understand
say
what I understand that you don't need to explain that to me.
Make use of things like credits because taxation is not only a means to raise revenue to fund government functions, but taxation can also be used to to manipulate or control the population to incentivize certain behaviors.
You are mixing up what I'm applying to Star Trek versus the real world.
I'm adding. You suggested that the government would have no purpose to using taxing credits
in Star Trek,
and I'm suggesting yes, they would if they wanted to manipulate the behavior or incentivize certain behavior. So Quark being taxed a lot by the Alliance, in addition to being a way for the Alliance to extract value from Quark, could be a way to disincentivize his business.
And I would argue that is the only use of credits because they don't need to.
Good enough.
They don't need to acquire credits back from the individual. They create the credits from nothing. They dole them out as a means of incentivizing them to work. Yes, but what they don't do is then take those credits back to give to another company to give them a bunch of transporters or protein blocks or something.
You could just have a completely made up system that you force people to rely on a certain system that then you can take stuff away from them at your will.
All I'm doing is simply stating the difference between Star Trek credits and what we know to be money, and that there is no use in taxing credits. The use comes in how many credits you dole out.
I think it's largely irrelevant in the context of the mirror universe that is already filled with a bunch of crazy lunatics.
Look, I get that. Okay, I just want to say I totally understand. Yes, I get it. Anything is a fucking anything is money if people decide that it's money. I'm on board with
that
one.
They probably have.
I'm just saying that.
Stuff.
I'm just saying a subtle difference.
They do. The Terrans. The Terrans are there.
I was just saying what I thought to be a nuanced difference.
Apparently, they really need ore.
Or what?
Well, wasn't...
Now, wait a minute.
Deep Space Nine under the Cardassians was an ore process.
Yeah, and it was always a little weird.
And yellow ore is what...
Yeah, because that doesn't make any
yellow
sense.
Yellow ore is what busted up that transporter in The Enemy Within. See what pose I'm making right now?
Yeah, I believe so. I can see you.
I'm just glad Dan's not pointing at me, and now he's pointing
I'm
at Jesse.
I'm glad we don't do a visual.
He's aggressively pointing at Jesse. No, it was always funny to me, the idea that they would have an ore processing facility
Up in space. How does that work?
I'm sure you can come up with some sci-fi
reason.
It's
really cool.
Why it makes sense. Maybe it's so that the slaves don't escape. Okay, whatever. It's kind of like an Alcatraz prison or something. All right. Cool. You can come up with some reason. But it does seem fairly inefficient to be like, okay, we're going to mine this stuff on the planet.
And shoot it up.
Haul
there.
It up there, either through transporter or shuttlecraft.
There's
and then have it processed. Because you'd think you could just be able to build bigger and better processing plants like next to the fucking mine. But anyway, I don't know. I'm not going to speculate on sort of the ore.
That's how the Cardassians did it.
Extraction principles of made up future ores. But I don't know. I always found that a little bit puzzling. But
yes.
But we do get to see that ore processing facility in Deep Space Nine does excel at making things look fucking miserable. Like they did in Necessary Evil, past tense. Things Past is another one. Especially when they're like go back in time on Terraignor, it's always looking fucking
Terraignor.
Horrible.
Terraignor is bad news.
Yeah, and so this Deep Space Nine kind of looks how Terraignor used to look.
Yeah.
Are we still talking about Quark?
Miraknor.
If you want to talk about Quark, or we can talk about Odo's. I was going to say, do we have any suppositions, any ideas of what some of Odo's other rules of obedience were? Were they like... you gotta like wait to eat before Odo eats. Like Odo gets to eat first.
Odo doesn't eat.
You gotta.
Oh, that's fucked up then.
You gotta bake some to make some. That's one of the rules of obedience.
Don't talk to me when I'm in my bucket.
Do you think he has some? Do you think he's cruel enough to have some nonsensical rules of obedience that just cause confusion and anxiety?
Probably.
Kind of like what you were saying.
Yeah.
Would you say you gotta
bake some to make some?
You gotta bake some to make some.
Yeah.
Is that a metaphor about selling cookies or something?
It's no metaphor. It's on the level, straight literal.
You're gonna teach that in your economics class.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I was just trying to think if there were any other because like you were
there's probably something like no lounging. There's probably something.
Do you think he has the rule like so many fucking retail outlets have that you're not allowed to like lean?
Yeah. I bet you that's
it's always one of the most aggravating things about working in retail, where you're like, you're doing a good job, you're selling the fucking watches or the meat or whatever shit you're selling, and everyone likes you, but then they're like, but don't fucking lean on the counter. Mm-hmm. Don't lean on the wall. It makes you look lazy. Is that what the deal is?
On the counter.
I don't know. See, the thing with restaurants is whenever you're like it's time to pay whenever it's time to like put on a show, you're running around everywhere.
Yeah.
So when you're sitting around when nobody's there, like sometimes they'll be like, don't sit down, but they're often pretty lax about you sitting around if there's nobody in the restaurant.
What about those restaurants where the waiter sits at your table with you? They sort of like cozy up.
Yeah, I'm
and
not
they, like,
that's,
down. Not,
that's way unnecessary.
It's always weird to me.
Yeah,
it's
kind of weird. Yeah.
Now, Dan, Jesse, can you see about elegantly segueing into a discussion of the crossover?
So Quark, like speaking of food, Quark was asking Kira if she wanted some.
Speaking of like eating weird, creepy little worms.
Quark was like asking, Quark was like, Kira, he goes, you know, Intendant usually has Jumja tea this time of day. And then Kira did that thing she's you not. Do where she's like, well, I'm not her. And then she said, but that would sound good. Yeah, it would sound good, you know? It's like when the guy in charge like is doing his thing and the guy who's not in charge is like, let's go this way. And the guy in charge is like, or the person in charge is like, well, I'm the one in charge here. And then he pauses and then sheepishly says, let's go that way.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
It's the same as that thing. I had an issue with Quark trying to shoot Garak with a phaser rifle. First of all, where did he think that would get him?
I know.
Even if he successfully shot Garak, where was he going to go?
It was a rifle and he just picked it up out of nowhere and he was like, wee.
Yeah, it's like when Picard in Attached tried to escape, which was a great episode, but when he tried to escape.
Just running through some doors.
He was going to run like, he was going to beat the jailer. Yeah. To the jail door even if he had gotten to the door, which the jailer had a phaser, like the dude would be sitting right around the corner anyways, right, like where would he go? The second thing I had an issue with was like, why would he pick unless it was the only thing available to him, why would he pick a rifle in that situation? That's the situation you want a phaser.
Well, I think that's what he had under the bar.
Precisely.
That's just like, because Quark has the rifle under the bar, like the bartender has a shotgun.
Why doesn't he have
the old West bartender?
Yeah, but he should have a phaser because it's just as effective.
Yeah, but it's not the trope.
And he should have a better aim.
Well, he couldn't aim it because it was a rifle. Garak just blocked it with his hands. If it was a phaser, he would not have been able to block
it. Totally,
him.
I know.
I agree with you. And Quark is dead as a result of it.
Yeah, they killed Quark, man.
Man, that's not cool.
Presumably. What was cool was seeing Avery Brooks in his role,
yes.
Enjoying the role of Biff Tannen with his with his gang of giggling idiot friends.
There's some rough-looking dudes in that gang, man.
I know.
That's like rougher than like Khan's people. There was like some kind of like 70s rock band or something.
You want to hear some pirate laughter?
Yes.
Now, do you want to hear the part where the pirates were, after Sisko was like, let me get a drink, which he very authoritatively, like, jumped behind that bar and was like, let's get a drink. He was like some kind of, like, pirate ne'er-do-well. Like, it was kind of awesome. But this is right after he got the drink, there was some mumbling in the pirates, and this is what they were saying.
There!
I do!
That, too!
Yeah.
Right on you!
Give me that butt.
Don't be stingy.
Here's something. Oh, my.
Yeah. He was saying, like,
great idea.
A great idea. Yeah, don't be stingy. Give me that. I'm going to play it one more time.
All right. Yeah, I do. That, too.
Yeah,
great idea.
Give me that butt.
Don't be stingy.
Give me that butt.
I don't know. I'm always just so entertained by, like, those background, like, chitter. Background chitter that you're not supposed to like actually listen to, but then like there's some people that are actually saying shit back there.
Yeah,
you know, I find it entertaining.
Sometimes when you watch it with captions, they'll
sometimes
say what that stuff is.
Sometimes
it does it on Disney Plus. It doesn't do it on Paramount.
It depends.
Well, Avery Brooks is having a fucking fantastic time.
Yes,
playing this version of Sisko.
I had a fantastic time watching
it. Yeah, me too. Hey Dan, did you happen to get recordings of the two times? I was wrong last week. Last week I was wrong on this count, but this week I was not. This week we have two characters that say the title of the episode.
What was the title? I don't actually know if I have these. I'm not even.
All right.
I don't think I actually have it.
So Dan, remember a couple minutes ago you were talking about this concept of this thing called memories.
Memories,
you know. So like one memory, for example, that you might access is that the episode we're discussing this week is called Crossover.
Yeah, I totally forgot for a second.
And we have two characters who say Crossover.
I think we have two characters.
Dude, actually there's three characters.
Well, Quark says it and Kira says it. Who else says it?
Intendant.
Does the intendant?
Yeah, she says it. A transporter was responsible for the first crossover. You know, I can't believe I didn't catch any of those. That's insane.
I got to say, I can't believe it either.
I think you're insane.
Every episode I always check for that's an order and a duty. But, like, that's an order and a duty.
By the by.
I'm going to have to, like...
Were there any that's an orders or it's a duty?
Well, I'm going to say, I think in the future, I need to really put a concerted effort into remembering to put the title... Because there wasn't one for a while, and I kind of forgot about doing it. And this is a perfect example, is there were three of them.
Well, I mean, some of the Discovery episodes or Deep Space Nine episodes, like, there's that episode, like, Wrong's Darker Than Death or Night. They're not saying that in the episode.
Well, right, so, obviously, they don't say it in every episode, but... Like, I've gotten to the point where I've forgotten to look for it.
Like, they didn't say it in Attached, did they? There wasn't a point where Picard was like, remember when we were attached.
I don't think so. There is a duty or no duty, though.
Ooh, all right. Well, because time's winding down, so I figured we should get to these things before much longer.
The Intendant honors me with a ship and a crew. I honor her by collecting duties.
Let me play the short version. He said
of a sort because he doesn't mean like taxes. He means poops.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Duties.
Can we play it one more time?
Duties. Duties.
Yeah. So that would be a no duty, right? Because it's no duty because duty. It's a duty.
Yeah.
So that means it's a no. We're declaring a no duty.
I agree with you.
Under normal circumstances, I would agree with you, but I like to imagine that this
duties.
Like the reason he's laughing.
Yeah, it's because he's saying duties. Yeah. So because I want that to be true, I'm going like to have
little,
to go with
he's collecting little sacks
that's
of poop.
Really silly.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with duty because I want it to be true. But I do see where you're coming from.
You do-do?
I do-do. I do-do.
You hate
it's just
you
a crazy idea.
Was Quark wearing some kind of non-Quarkish blue jacket weird thingy?
Yeah, it was less flamboyant than he usually wears.
And then fucking Kira called him a toad. She like behind his back.
I think regular Kira is referred to regular Quark as a toad.
Yeah, but that's okay because regular Quark is like kind of an asshole, but this is like a good Quark. So that's kind of like fucked up that she's saying that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's also kind of fucked up for Kira to be calling.
Yeah, you're right. It's fucked up for her to be calling a regular Quark or not Quark Prime, I guess you'd call it.
I guess that's the essentialist part, is Kira in any universe finds Quark obnoxious.
Yeah, well, she didn't get to know the other Quark enough to tell whether he was obnoxious. Her only experience with Mirror Quark is that he was, like, saving people's lives. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I'm saying, like, yes, it's fucked up for her to call Quark Prime a toad, but it's not, but there's some history behind
Prime
that. Quark has, like, almost, like, single-handedly sabotaged the entire ship, like, on several occasions.
Yeah.
Sabotage.
Yeah.
And, but in this instance, Mirror Quark was nothing but a good guy. So it's extra fucked up that she would call him a toad, I think, in this one. I don't think it's unwarranted.
Did you say Mirror Quark?
Mirror Quark.
It was
Mirror Quark.
Sisko had a line where he was talking about cutting something off.
Cutting
his penis off.
Yeah.
Oh, she'll have my head or something else.
Or something else. Yeah.
Yeah. Mirror Quark is going to chop off my dick.
Yeah. Yeah. Who says, and you expect me to help you? She'll have my head or something else. Yeah. He's talking about the penis. But there was one line after. Okay. So when Kira was like, Kira to Sisko or whatever.
Or whatever.
She was saying something. When she said Kira to Sisko, intendant to Sisko, his face got serious. Like he was worried about something. But then when he turned around, he put on like a happy face for his, like, his crew. Now, do you think he was actually concerned about going there? Because the face.
Oh,
he,
yeah. He's being sexually assaulted.
Well, yeah. The face he was making to his crew was like, I'm going to get some. But
the first face is, oh, I get to go be raped again.
Okay.
I'm in a situation where I have to volunteer to be sexually assaulted in order to not fucking work in the mines.
Yeah.
But then there was
he's a comfort man.
But then he got jealous though when she brought
up comfort man.
Sisko Prime, which is interesting.
Yeah, well, she certainly thought he might be jealous. I kind of was thinking it was part of his mini arc in this episode of being like, when he's thinking about another Sisko, he's like, okay, there's like a different way to live life than this.
Well, so he says this.
Maybe I'm reading too much into.
Well, he says this in response to it.
Benjamin.
Oh, well, she says that first.
Did I hurt your feelings?
I never had any to hurt an intendant.
Yeah.
So that's almost like when the real Mirror Sisko pokes his head out. Because every other time he's being like, I'm a pirate. Yeah, ah,
yeah. No, I agree. I think.
But it's the most Sisko-like he is in that one moment there.
I agree 100%. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what's kind of interesting is I was according to the Deep Space Nine companion, the original plan for this episode was to have Worf in it long before Worf actually came on to Deep Space Nine full time, and Worf was going to play the role that Garak played, and then Garak was going to play the role that they ended up creating a new character, Talok, the Klingon guy.
Tailspin?
Yeah.
Yes, Tailspin. So Worf was, Michael Dorn wasn't available because he was in the middle of filming All Good Things at the same time as this episode was being filmed. So they couldn't get Worf, so they gave his lines to Garak, and then they gave Garak's lines to this new character, Talok, who was played by John Cothran, who had previously, he looked really familiar, and I was like, why do I know this character? Is this a character we're supposed to know? It was just that he played another Klingon in The Chase, which is that episode where they find the progenitor people that then Discovery talks about.
Clumsy fool, stupid Terran pig.
Telek, remember when he spits in the face? Does that spit in the face thing?
To that? Are you talking about that crew member? That one he's calling a stupid pig?
Yeah.
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 He like fucking like that. I was watching that and I was like, oh my God, that actor just spit a huge glob of gross spit
it's
into
always
that
gross
other
when
actor's
that happens.
Face. Yeah, it's always gross, but this was like really gross. I don't know. It was so aggressive and violent. It was great. It was really good.
That scene kind of cut off, that moment kind of cut off weird because like Sisko was telling his dude to back down presumably because he didn't want to start shit. Yeah. But then Sisko all got up in his face at the end and then it cut to Kira.
Yeah.
And then we never go back to it, but it looked like he was stepping up to Talok, but then we never find out like what he was actually trying to
do. It was a little bit of an awkward edit. I guess it was just supposed to
be. Do actors like it if you spit in their face?
Well, it depends on the actor.
I mean, I guess it depends on how acty they want to be about it.
You pee in their face.
Well, there's the Garak sort of side plot that was almost a misdirect, but really I think was just a catalyst for movement. Yeah. Was when he was talking about his plot to kill the intendant. It was funny how Sisko was just like, "Oh, he does that all the time. Don't worry about it." And so when
is that rascally Garak?
Yeah. So when he said that, it was kind of like, "Oh, well, I guess that doesn't go anywhere." But then we learn that, like, she's not allowed to sit, they're not allowed to say no to Garrick's plan.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, first of all, you wouldn't be able to trust Garrick would follow through with the plan, but it doesn't matter anyway because they're not allowed to say no to it. But that's sort of what put things in motion, because, like, at that as a plot point didn't go anywhere, really. So
but it was more a little bit you're right, it was misdirected and fun.
It was fun. Silly Garrick.
Bits and bobs, because we do got to close things down.
Bits and nooks and crannies.
Nooks and crannies, odds and ends. One that I have is that I thought it was funny that Kira does not know about Kirk, but she knows about Lewis Carroll. Because she referenced Through the Looking Glass. Remember when they arrived back?
Right.
Sisko's like, where have you guys been?
Through the Looking Glass, Commander.
Which, incidentally, is the name of the second of five Deep Space Nine Mirror Universe episodes. The next one up, in the I think it's in the third season, is called Through the Looking Glass. And so maybe Dan's podcast election algorithm will have us be doing that episode sometimes in the not-too-distant future. We'll see.
Maybe not.
So we don't really know.
Oh, we already discussed the wormhole thing, I guess,
the
right?
Wormhole.
Like why, how they got there, and how they left.
There's a wormhole thing.
How about that? That happy music. When she was talking about.
When the intendant was saying, "Play something bright."
She was like,
"I'm in a happy mood." Yeah.
Classic Star Trek music. I did enjoy that.
I know. It's like, it almost sounds like a bunch of random notes, but it kind of has an interesting melody, even though it sounds like a bunch of like random notes.
It's alien music.
It's weird Star Trek alien music. It's
weird.
Remember in Back to the Future when they played that song? It's all like,
it's like Night Train.
Yeah, I know that one.
You know that one?
Yeah, I do. Also the ZZ Top one. Frizz me far out. I know we've done that multiple times in recent times, but what are you going to do?
Not much.
The end of the show.
This
is end of the show, Patrick.
Winding
down, Patrick.
I found it somehow heartwarming that at the end, like how O'Brien didn't like Sisko at the beginning, but at the end he teams up with them.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like when Sisko said, like when he was like, "I like you, Smiley," we all thought he was fucking with him, but part of it was true.
Yeah.
Like we retroactively figure out that like he did kind of like,
I think he respected O'Brien. Him.
Yeah. So like
good stalwart.
Everybody likes
so
O'Brien.
So O'Brien probably still doesn't
sturdy
like
O'Brien.
He probably doesn't like Sisko all that much still, but like they're working.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know. It felt good.
Yeah.
I felt good with them.
Yeah.
Being together
bit.
Like that.
Yeah. I mean, know? It has a little bit of the dynamic of the jock who
wants
to make use of the nerd.
Yeah, well.
And so like Toadie's up to the nerd.
Well, if you want to be not fun about it, you can
well,
start.
I don't know. There are other episodes and you can see what happens in future episodes.
You're with me, Smiley. Right. I suppose that's why I like you so much.
Last call.
Hello, Smiley.
I don't like Miles. That's why I named you Smiley.
It's just a crazy idea.
Last call. For any comments or tomfoolery or global globals,
some bits of lore. If you're a Theta, it means you're like a high ranking.
You don't want to be a
one or higher ranking.
You don't want to be a Lambda because apparently that is the not good Greek letter.
We already talked about we don't know what a Draithen puppy leg is. Why did they use the word puppy? Which is a real word, but then they surround it with Draithen and
lig,
which sounds like leg, but it's not. Like, what's a puppy lig?
It sounds like a New Zealander saying leg.
A puppy lig? Puppy lig.
Puppy lig.
So do they have puppies on other...
New Zealand, they just flitting all the veils.
So do they
flitting
have...
all the veils.
Do they have puppies on other planets that are identical to our puppies, except they have ligs?
Yeah, they have ligs instead
of
legs.
The Draithen kind.
They're teeny ligs.
Humans don't believe in souls in the future of a mirror universe.
Apparently, yeah. Well, why would they?
I don't know.
They live
right
a pretty
now.
Shitty life.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
All right. Anything else?
Bartender!
Is this the part of the episode where...
Dan's got nothing to
Dan
say.
Dan gives the impression that he's concluded all his contributions to the show, and then I start the end matter. I start...
I wouldn't worry about it.
Going through the social media and all that, and then you start, and then you're like, oh, wait a second!
Wait, there's one more thing!
There's one more very cogent point.
Some here's a bit of lore. When you shoot the circuitry above an open door, it closes it and makes
and
it unable
it.
To be opened. Right.
Yeah. All right.
Because you wouldn't want a broken door to stay open. You'd want it to immediately close so you can't get out.
That's exactly. That's the good for safety.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, who knows? Maybe on a spaceship with airlocks. Anyway. All right. Mm. So,
well, in that situation, it didn't work in their favor.
Well, I'll declare that conversation concluded.
Why do you get to do that?
Well, because I'm looking at the time right here.
Well, I call it concluded.
Okay. Dan has called it a
Everyone
concluded.
Everyone calls it concluded.
It's been seconded and thirded.
Okay. Let's do it.
Let's not do it anymore. So that was a good discussion of Deep Space Nine's crossover.
It was really good, guys.
It was really excellent. Pat on the back. We're going to pat each other on the back once this recording is concluded.
We are pieing ourselves on the back here. We're pieing ourselves on the back.
If you'd like to get further involved with the It's Got Star Trek podcast, there are many ways to do so.
Can you tell me one?
Yeah, you can email us at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com.
Can you believe that?
I can. You can send us a voicemail if you like. Either send it to the email or go to itsgotstartrek.com/record, and you can record it right on the website. It'll send it to us automatically. It's fantastic. Give it a
try. Do you believe it?
If you write a review, you'll get a haiku, but only if you want it. If you don't want it, let us know, and no haiku. So it's not
what a damn shame.
It's not a threat. It's an incentive.
There's no threats through haiku.
Our website is www.itsgotstartrek.com. Should be obvious, but you never know.
Sure.
Social media at It's Got Star Trek on all the more regular social media outlets, as well as YouTube and Facebook. Join us at all those places. Follow us, chat with us, reach out to us, ask us questions, write comments, complain.
I'm sorry.
Whatever you like, interact with us.
Of course.
We like interacting with you. And of course, don't forget about our Patreon at patreon.com/itsgotstartrek. So,
of course.
I think that's just about everything you need to know.
Everything.
In order to navigate the It's Got Star Trek ecosystem. And we hope that you will enjoy carousing around our little world here. All right. So we don't know what we're talking about next week. You can check back on the social media or the website. We'll have that information up probably by the time this episode goes out.
Is that clear?
I'm thinking we're probably doing Enterprise. So we're not 100% sure, but there's a good chance we'll be doing an Enterprise.
Yes.
I think that's what's due. I think, you know, there's a certain certain order.
That appeals to me. I'm in a happy mood.
Me too. Me too, Dan. Largely because of your contributions. Thank you. All right. Okay. So we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
Bye.
Quiet.
Would you like to have dinner sometime?
I think you'd better stick with Dax.
I'm sorry? Oh! You thought that I was trying to... No.
My mistake.
But if I thought...
Forget it.
Right.